Good morning. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Think about this number for a second. $63 billion. $63 billion is how much it's expected to cost the state's pension system to pay retirement benefits to teachers, judges, and state employees in the coming years. Here's another number for you. $45 billion. That's about how much the state currently has to pay those benefits. So right now, it's about $18 billion short of meeting its long-term financial commitments. To try to close the difference, in 2011, former Governor Martin O'Malley pushed through legislation that would raise employee contributions from 7% to 7% from 5% and trim future benefits. That was supposed to be paired with the state paying an extra $300 million each year into the pension fund. Only thing, that part never actually happened. This year, Governor Larry Hogan's proposed budget allotted $150 million extra for the pension fund. The House's version of the budget, which they passed last Thursday, slashed $75 million out of that to restore cuts in education and ensure pay raises for state workers. So what does all this mean for state employees looking to retire in coming years? With me in the studio to talk about it is Dean Kenderdine, Executive Director of the State Retirement Agency. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Yola.
And with us by phone is Liz Farmer, a reporter for Governing Magazine, who has reported on pension systems around the country. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, Dean Kenderdine, there are about 388,000 people in Maryland's state pension system, as I understand it, 143,000 of whom already are drawing pensions. Right now, the system would be able to fund about 70% of the expected amount it's going to need to eventually pay out to those members. You're hoping to be at 80% funding by 2023. Are you on track?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're making progress in that regard. And as a result of the reforms that you just mentioned in 2011, as well as good investment returns that we've seen in the last few years, we're every bit on track toward achieving that goal.
As I mentioned, the House's budget would cut in half the $150 million in extra payments that Governor Hogan included in his budget. Controller Peter Franchot told WAMU's Matt Bush last week that diverting $75 million away from the pension fund would be like taking money out of retirement savings to pay for a Disney World vacation.
If you go to 100 Marylanders and say, should we dip into the pension fund contribution to pay for general fund expenses, they would say absolutely no, because it's just wrong.
Dean Kenderdine, how significant is the $75 million cut to keeping the state pension system on track? The controller called it a breach of trust. Are we taking money from the future to pay for the present?
What we're doing is what has been done is a reduction in the amount of money of extra supplemental funds that are going in. And I think it's important for your listeners to understand, in particular those who are looking to their retirement, having mm-hmm. their retirement through the state of Maryland, that what is required by law is being paid, and what has been required by law has always been consistently paid. What this is there was, as you mentioned, there was a plan to infuse additional dollars, supplemental dollars, to hasten the day at which we reach that 80% funded goal, and then beyond that to 100% funded. The Board of Trustees, to whom I report, and of which Comptroller Franchot is one trustee, has expressed its concern. It's very deep concern about the reduction in the supplemental revenues that were planned and put in Governor Hogan's budget this year. It will somewhat slow our progress attributable to what's coming in by way of supplemental funding. But the important thing is what is required to be put in is being put in. This is an additional amount on top of that. It's less than what we anticipated. Treasurer Kopp, who is the chairman of the Board of Trustees for the system, has articulated the board's concern in this regard, and that if there is a pattern of reducing these supplemental funds going forward in the future, that does pose serious concern with respect to our ability to reach the goals that we share with the legislature and with the governor. So we're hopeful that this will be the last, and that we will continue to receive the $75 million in supplemental payments going forward, as has been stated in the proposed budget, and that we'll continue on this progress toward 80% funded and beyond.
Liz Farmer, let me pull you into the conversation. How does the health of Maryland's state pension system compare to others around the country?
Maryland's pension system is about an average plan at this point. It is 72% funded. There are certainly ones that are a lot worse, and there are a lot that are better. But, you know, Maryland's story has been one that has mirrored others around the country. I mean, everybody was really well funded right before the tech stocks crashed in 2001. And pretty much ever since then, plans have struggled to get back to 100%. But, you know, Maryland has kind of flatlined its funded level the last several years up until this year.
I'm sorry, Maryland has flatlined.
Oh, sorry, that means, wrong choice of words. It's been about between 62 and 63% funded the last 2 years up until this year. It has started to come back, as many other plans have. This year was a really good year for pension plans.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Liz Farmer, a reporter for Governing Magazine. And with me in the studio is Dean Kenderdine, Executive Director of the State Retirement Agency. And we're talking about the health of Maryland's state pension system. Dean Kenderdine, the way you calculate how much money should be socked away each year is changing. The new method is called the actuarial method. I don't want to get too deep into how it compares to the old way, but in simplest terms, what does this mean for the pension system?
Well, that's the other part of what the legislature is doing with their plan, and it is that part of the plan that we certainly supported. The Board of Trustees has long since supported. Paying what's actuarially required or what is actuarially determined each year is the standard, is what pension plans should have their funding based upon. Maryland got away from that in the early 2000s, and I won't go into the details of the current funding policy that we've operating under. It's even more complicated than actuarial required contribution, but it has, and that policy has effectively underfunded the system over the last 8-9 years. So by virtue of returning to full actuarial funding, the system will be receiving the level of contributions that it needs to maintain going forward, again, to reach that 80% goal. The way it works is that every June 30, the actuary takes a snapshot of our system. It assesses what our total liabilities are for the entire system, what our assets are for the entire system. It is based on a series of assumptions that are made by the Board of Trustees, having to do demographic assumptions and economic assumptions, having to do with rates of retirement, rate of disability retirements, et cetera, et cetera. The calculations are made that then determine what the appropriate contribution should be for each of the component parts of the total system. We have a number of plans within the larger system for state employees. Public school teachers is the largest. We provide the retirement for, we oversee the retirement for all of our 24 jurisdictions teachers as well. State police, local law enforcement officer plans, judges and the like. And a contribution rate is established for each one of those plans as a result of that valuation that's done every June 30th.
Comptroller Francho said that switching back to the actuarial method will cost more in the long run.
What's being planned, by virtue of their plan, there will be a savings to the state in the early years. But when you amortize the total cost and the current or what the proposed plan for funding that total cost is over time, it will, in the end, if you amortize the full 25 years, and that's what we're, it's a closed 25-year period in which, like a mortgage, to pay off those liabilities, it will actually cost taxpayers a bit more, considerably more in the out years. But net, it will be additional cost.
To get some idea of what public employees think of the House plan to divert pension funding into restoring pay and education cuts, we talked to the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME, in Maryland, the union that represents state employees. AFSCME Council 3 Communications Director Jeff Pittman told producer Matt Purdy that Maryland is actually unusual in its funding of the state pension system.
Maryland is one of only a handful of states that invests more into its pension plan than is actuarially required.
Liz Farmer, which states are managing pensions best?
Wisconsin's a really good example. It has made a habit of paying its full actuarially required payment every year. It even did so during the recession, which was fairly unusual. A lot of states funneled that money to elsewhere as they struggled to balance budgets. But it was funded as high as close to fully funded as as far back as 2013. They haven't issued their more current numbers yet, but I'd be surprised given the stock market returns if they weren't fully funded or 100% or past 100%. But I want to get back to that, the actuarially required contributions. Maryland, if I'm understanding this situation correctly, it seems like the state has a statutory requirement to pay a certain amount. And that isn't always the statutory requirement, and the what's recommended by the actuaries don't always line up. And the city of Chicago is a good example of what can happen when, you know, the city has said year after year, we're paying what the law says we should pay, but the law isn't an actuarially required payment. And if you look at their statements over the years, I mean, they've made a habit of paying less than half of what actuaries say they should be paying every year. And if you've read any news stories about Chicago lately, you know how much they're financially struggling, and its looming pension obligations are a big part of that.
We have just a little bit of time left. Both the editorial boards of the Washington Post and the Baltimore Sun have used the word raid to describe what the House budget would do. You said it would indeed cost the state more, something like $2.5 billion more, as I understand it, over the long haul. Is it a raid?
It's an unfortunate term to be used, because what that suggests to people is that the state is actually dipping into the trust fund itself in order to pay for general fund costs, and that's not what's happening. As I've said, what is has been proposed and has been in place for since the reforms were first enacted in 2011 is a plan to add supplemental payments on top of what's statutorily required. And I should also add that 2 years ago, the legislature passed a law to get us out of this current funding policy that we're presently in that has effectively underfunded the system, and to return over a 10-year period to full actuarial funding. What's happening with this year's provision is a full actuarial funding next year. We'll be getting the full actuarially required contribution.
We are flat out of time. I appreciate you both talking to us. Thank you. Dean Kanderdine, Executive Director of the State Retirement Agency. Liz Farmer is a reporter with Governing Magazine. We have a link to the pension system's latest financial report at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, mentoring goes to work. Stay with us on 88.1.